This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'ghfiruhu wa nasta'hdihi. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu ta'ala fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil falan tajida lahu waliyan murshida. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We begin by thanking and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is most entitled to our praise and our gratitude. We seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance, we seek His protection, we seek His forgiveness. We bear witness that there is no one worthy to be worshipped except Him, and we bear witness that our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is His last and final Prophet and Messenger. We beseech Allah to shower Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with compliments and salutations, peace, mercy, and blessings, and upon his family and his companions and all of those who follow his perfect tradition, his sunnah, until the end of time. Every single ilm, every single science, every single subject of study, of learning that elevates someone, that helps them to grow, that helps them to develop, to increase in beneficial knowledge, is virtuous. And without taking away any of the virtue and value of all of the different sciences and ulum and subjects of study and professions, but there is no debate when it comes to what is the most honorable of all subjects of study. As the ulama, our teachers, have taught us that the value and the virtue of a subject of study is related to that matter which is being studied. And since the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the greatest miracle that our beloved Messenger received, and His words subhanahu wa ta'ala are our guiding light and our manual for success in this life and the hereafter, then studying the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of its different forms and derivatives and sciences is ashraful ulum, is the most virtuous of sciences and subjects of study. As the Quran is described, bahrun la sahila lah. They likened it to an ocean that has no shores. You can keep swimming on and on forever. And amongst one aspect of this huge ocean is a surah from the Quran that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to recite on a weekly basis. You might have heard this before. Surah Al-Kahf, chapter number 18, is one that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith which scholars have commented about its authenticity. But it is accepted amongst the majority of scholars that reciting it from one Friday to another fills the week of that believer with light. And inshallah ta'ala, our short discussion about one small segment of the surah will serve as an introduction to the topic for next month's khutbah inshallah ta'ala. So bear that in mind. Another amazing thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about this surah is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after informing us that it provides light for the believer in his week, that it also serves as a means of protection. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that the greatest trial that this ummah will ever witness is the trial of Ad-Dajjal. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever hears about ad-Dajjal, then go the other direction. As they say, if you smell something stinky coming from the bushes, don't go looking for it. And perhaps some other charged adjectives are used. We will spare the minbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from that. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you hear about ad-Dajjal, you go the other direction. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever laqiyahu, if you happen to come across this being, which is a great trial of this ummah, then recite the opening verses or the closing verses, as it comes in different narrations, of Surah Al-Kahf. Meaning that the verses of this surah, of this chapter of the Qur'an, serve as a means of protection from the greatest calamity that this ummah will experience. So it behooves every single one of us to learn these verses, to memorize them and to understand them and to relate them to the idea of protection from fitan, from calamities and from difficult trials that many people will slip and fall in. And in the beginning of this surah, we find mention of a story. And actually, Surah Al-Kahf, a big chunk of it is qisas, stories. More than 70 verses in the surah dedicated to different stories. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ Allah said, we will tell you the stories of these individuals, stories of truth. Everybody enjoys stories, but so often stories are fictitious. Or they might be based on something true, but they are dramatized and embellished. Or they have some romantic aspect to it. It could be a horror story, but it's got a love triangle in there somehow. I don't know how. But these stories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us are a curriculum of study to find guidance and to be able to navigate the experiences and the hurdles of this dunya. And that's especially important for those of you that have students, and every single one of you that has family members or children especially, you serve in the position of a teacher, of a murabbi. You might leave them for hours in one classroom or another, but the onus of tarbiyah and teaching falls upon your lap, O parent, O older sibling, O cousin, O uncle, O grandfather. And you don't have to search far for a curriculum. Your curriculum is the qisas, the stories of the Qur'an. And not only are they curriculums for young and for those growing up, but even for the elderly, because this book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, revealed it for every individual, all walks of life until the end of time. And so the stories of the Qur'an are a curriculum for us to study and to use when we teach and when we raise those that we have influence upon. And ourselves, for our own times of study. This particular story in the beginning of Surah Al-Kahf is the story of Ashab Al-Kahf. The surah is named Surah Al-Kahf, which means a cave. And the first opening story in this surah, out of the four that are mentioned, are of a group of people that were in a cave. And that's why they were called Ashab Al-Kahf, and that's why the surah was named after this cave. So let us pause for a moment and see what exactly their story was and why is it relevant to you and I right here, right now, today. And also for our days and years, if Allah were to grant us life, to come in the future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this group of people, إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by telling us of a dua that they made. Now these verses are several. I encourage everyone to read them and ponder. Surah Al-Kahf, which is chapter 18, from verse 9 to verse 26 or 27. And we won't be able to go into all of the details in our short time here together, but let's pause at a few important lessons. What is their story? We have different narrations. Some said that they were a group of people that lived in the time period after Isa alayhi salam. The majority of scholars said actually they lived in a time period before then. And the narration that we find most relevant to this opinion is that which is related to the situation of the believers in Mecca. in the early stages of Islam, when they were being persecuted and tortured, and the Prophet ﷺ would walk through the streets of Mecca, being humiliated, called names, insulted, and his own companions and those that believed in him, tortured, and many of them even killed. And so Quraysh, when they recognized that the amr, that the situation that Muhammad ﷺ brought forth, and the belief of these companions is too strong for it to be shaken or removed by physically harming them, they realized that the situation of this deen is much more serious. So they sent two messengers to a city known as Yathrib, which later came to be known as Medina, the city of the Prophet ﷺ. But before Hijrah, it was known as Yathrib. They sent two individuals named An-Nadr and Uqba. And they said, go and ask Ahlul Kitab. There are people of the book. There are Jews over there from Bani Israel. They might know something about what this individual is saying, Muhammad ﷺ. And so they went and they interviewed some of Al-Yahud in Yathrib. And they said, we have this man, Muhammad, and he's saying such and such and such and such. Do you know anything about what he is claiming? Is this related any way to your religion or your scriptures? They said, go back to him and ask him three questions. If he is able to answer these three questions for you, فَإِنَّهُ نَبِي, then he is a prophet and messenger. And if he's not able to answer these questions, then he's just making up a lot of stories and taking you guys for a ride. What are those three questions? They said, ask him about these Ashabul Kahf. Ask him about these fitya, about these young adults that took refuge in a cave. What's their story? They said, ask him about ar-ruh, the soul. They said, ask him about an individual, a man of strength and power who traveled throughout the land and had a lot of control in different areas. And that was Dhul-Qarnayn. Fast forward. They came to the Prophet ﷺ and they asked him these questions. And Rasulullah ﷺ was so excited to receive these questions and to have an opportunity to give da'wah that he said, come to me tomorrow, I will give you the answer. But he did not say, inshallah. That's why at the conclusion of this story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches his messenger and teaches us by extension, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدَى إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Don't speak with determination about what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't even know if you're going to live to tomorrow. But always leave matters in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They came the next day and Rasulullah ﷺ was expecting to receive wahi, revelation from Jibreel, but he did not. And so he said the day after that, and they remained waiting up till 15 days until they started mocking the Prophet ﷺ, and they said, that devil that comes and whispers to you, what happened? He hasn't come, he's forsaken you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel with wahi and these verses were revealed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about this group of people, young adults. They lived at a time and in a place where people were disbelievers and were arrogant and insistent upon their disbelief. Even though the message of tawheed, of worshipping and recognizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator and most deserving of our worship and our gratitude, those lessons were there, but they decided to turn their backs from it. This group of young adults decided to be mature, decided to be wise, decided to think critically, to not fall into status quo, to not get swept up by what was fashionable and what was attractive and what was perpetuated by the powers to be at that time and place. No, they stood for haqq, for truth. And so they faced the proponents of disbelief with the message of tawheed. And they were responded to with threats, as is the pattern of events throughout the centuries that doesn't change. And so when they were threatened and their lives were at risk, they decided, let us get together and let us flee this town and let us go and seek refuge in a kahf, in a cave. And Allah said kahf, nor he did not say ghar. And there is a grammatical nuance there because ghar is very small. Only one or two or maybe three people can fit. But kahf is a large cave. And they were several in number. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they fled. And what did they do? They made dua. Always be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? By being in conversation to Allah. And this is the first pause that we take in this story. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. They asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they conversed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their situation was difficult. Where are they going to go? How long are they going to survive in this cave? They don't know the answers to those questions, but they know Allah. And they know that we should communicate with Allah and be connected with Allah and make dua to Allah. We run to our friends, to our counselors, to our family members, which is fine. But first run to Allah. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Race to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what did they ask for? They asked for rahmah, for mercy. The central theme that this entire religion revolves around, rahmah. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah says to His Messenger, we sent you for primarily as a mercy to all worlds. It is the rahmah of Allah that granted Ayyub his health after he was sick for several years. It is the rahmah of Allah that extracted Yunus alayhi salam from the depths of darkness. It is the rahmah of Allah that granted Zakariya his son Yahya at a time when there was no seeming chance for him to have a son. It is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we see time and again in the stories of the greatest people to walk this earth. And it is the rahmah of Allah that will remain until the end of time. It is the rahmah of Allah that we seek and that we beg Allah for in this life. It is the rahmah of Allah that we hope for to enter Jannah through in the next life. آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. Guide us, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our affairs so that we can take the right direction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He caused them to be asleep for a long period of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. We tied down their hearts. The heart is the place of emotions. مَا سُمِّيَ الْقَلْبُ قَلْبًا إِلَّا لِتَقَلُّبِهِ. It's called قَلْب in Arabic because it flips, it changes, it goes from one emotion to another. And why did they flee to this cave? They were fleeing from fitna. From the greatest fitna that could be, which is fitna in deen, in faith and in religion. Their faith in Allah, their worship of Allah, their conviction in Allah was being tested at its core. So they fled. They fled to this cave. And this qalb is very delicate. It's very fragile. And it's very important that we find for ourselves caves to protect this fragile and delicate heart so it can remain steadfast upon the worship and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let not your imagination go to a physical cave in a mountain. What they are doing here is the same thing that Musa and Bani Israel did when they did hijrah. What Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions did when they did hijrah. Even before Medina, they did hijrah to Al-Habasha in two waves. There is this notion of moving to a place of safety in your faith. When your heart is bombarded by pollutants and by messages and by ideologies that threaten your conviction and your relationship with Allah, find a cave. It could be another group of people, a suhba. A group of people to surround yourselves with to preserve your conviction in Allah. And that's the second point. Find your cave which will protect you and keep you steadfast. And that is my segue to the third point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that they had with them a dog. وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعِيهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ. They went to this cave and they had a kalb, a dog. Why, O Allah, are you telling us about this dog? Do we know this dog's name? There's lots of theories and ideas mentioned. They have no proof or basis. What was the breed of this dog? There are ideas thrown out, but there's no proof about it. Where did this dog come from? There are ideas, there are scholastic theories. Allah didn't tell us about any of those, nor did His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why, O Allah, are you telling us that these group of young adults had with them a dog? To show us that this dog, this animal, is mukarram, is honored. An animal is honored in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because of the group of people that he was in the presence of. An animal is honored until the day of judgment. The verses of Allah will be recited. Why? Because of the people that the animal was in the presence of. So what about a human being who is in the presence of virtuous people, of righteous people of knowledge, of people of taqwa? Will not that come to benefit them in this life and in the hereafter? Of course it will. If it benefited a dog, an animal, it can benefit you and me, a human being with intelligence. Surround yourself with people of virtue, with people of dhikr, with people of remembrance of Allah. And that will be a means of protection. That's one of the caves that we can have. Intangible, it doesn't have walls, you don't have to hike up a mountain, but you need to adjust your circle to protect your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most valuable and important thing that we have in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the wisdom and the ability to read His verses and reflect upon them. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. اللهم صل وسلم وأنعم وأكرم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We have been exploring some of the relevant wisdoms and lessons that we can extract from this opening story in Surah Al-Kahf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about a group of young adults who in their maturity, in their wisdom, and in their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, left a place of disbelief, removed themselves from an environment that was threatening their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understood the importance of conversing, talking to Allah, asking Allah for His mercy, as we are in need of rahmah, of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of our situations. The importance of being with good company, especially in a time of fitna, and the importance of finding a space in a gathering and a place where we can flee to maintain our closeness and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time does not allow us to go into all of the details of the story of these young adults, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they remained asleep for over 300 years. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتِ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ, that they were not stationary, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to flip and move side by side. I remember one time visiting a brother of ours who was suffering from a terminal illness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him and all of our sick cure and recovery. And the bed that he was on had a motor, and it would turn and adjust his bodily position because he was in a state of paralysis. Why? Because if the body is stuck on one side, it will actually, the skin will eventually rot and there will be harm to the body. Allah says we cause them to turn over. And by the time they woke up, hundreds of years later, a wondrous story, right? Amazing. أَمْرِهِمْ عَجَبًا. But nothing is amazing or impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah could cause them to be asleep for hundreds of years and then wake them up from their slumber, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to resurrect us all after death. كَمَا بَدَأَكُمْ تَعُودُونَ. Allah created you the first time, but logically speaking, it would be easier for Him to do it again. And nothing is difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they awoke, they decided, what's the first thing we need to do is we need to get some food. So they sent one of them to go into the town and get them some provisions. And they had wariq, they had fidla, some silver. But their currency is old, they've been asleep for a long time. And by the time this young individual went to town and tried to purchase food, the businessman that he was dealing with saw this currency and saw that it belonged to a king and to a dynasty that was long gone. And he said, where did you get this from? This must be some treasure that you have. And word spread, and he tried to conceal his identity, but eventually he was taken to the ruler. But subhanAllah, he found that the ruler at that time was actually a person of piety and virtue and was a believer. Rulers rise and fall. Nations come and go. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remains. He never expires. And when this young man found that the ruler was a person of virtue and piety, he explained to them his story and said, let me take you to my companions in the cave. And he led him to the companions into the cave. He had him wait outside and he went in to inform them, things have changed, the buildings are not the same buildings, the people are not the same people, even the ruler and the political establishment is different. How long have we been asleep for? It to them felt like a day or two, but they did not know. Before they can go out and meet that new ruler, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then took their souls and they died then and there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the people began to debate, what should we do with them? Should we take them out? Should we build a structure over them? Should we close them in this cave? Should we bury them? What do we do? Their story is wondrous. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not delve too much into those details. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives some mention of their number. Also, not giving so much attention to that, so that our attention and our emotions focus on the important lessons. That these were young people who took a stance for truth. They placed themselves in an environment that protected their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is stories like these that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in the Quran, so that we can navigate and understand how to remain strong when there is a lot of falsehood being propagated and we are expected to be the community that upholds and stands for truth, no matter how difficult it might be. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us the truth clearly as the truth and allow us to follow it. Show us the falsehood clearly as falsehood and protect us from it. We ask Allah to protect us from confusion because that will lead us astray. Keep in mind that this Sunday Fajr time will change to 5:45 a.m. Friday family night is at 8 p.m. tonight. I invite you all to join me as we talk about how to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a special announcement in March, inshallah ta'ala, of the coming year, there will be a trip with Sheikh Mustafa titled Discover Spain. It will be a historical journey into the land of Spain known as Al-Andalus, Andalusia. It will be an informative and enjoyable journey. There is flyers and information for you in the lobby. Please check that out and spread the word. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the best of this life and the best of the hereafter and protect us from the torment of the hellfire. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid wa aqim as-salah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي